Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Tom Keegan. And it's been a long and crazy day already, but a very interesting day. And I know most of you know that because there's been a ton of traffic. First, let me apologize for the slow speed of our site. There's been so many people interested in the Charlie Weiss firing news that it's been causing our site to work overtime. Just picture the ESPN commercial where Lance Armstrong's riding his bike in the basement to keep the lights on, or the gerbil in the wheel keeping the lights on. That's kind of what we've got going on our site. We're working on that, so bear with us there. But real quick, this episode is brought to you today by cars.lawrence.com. If you're looking for a new vehicle in the Douglas County area, start your search there and check out cars.lawrence.com. All right, Tom, let's move on to the news. News broke this morning. Big news, obviously. Nothing that anybody didn't see coming, or a lot of people didn't see coming, but certainly there's a finality to it. There's when it becomes official, it takes on a whole different life of its own, and it's definitely done that today, throughout the day. First reaction from you.
It had to be done.
Yeah.
Charlie Weiss had no energy left for this job. He thought he could come in here and win. He was wrong. He couldn't. And it's funny, or maybe fitting, that he came here promising great things offensively with his Dane Crist. Shane Zenger wanted to find an offensive guru, thought he had found one, and they leave with a shutout loss. Two times they get into the red zone, neither time they score.
0 points in his final act. I mean, that really is, you hate to make too much of it or be too dramatic, but there's a real poetic nature there. I agree with you.
Yeah, and the thing is, they were coming off a win. So if anything's going to energize a fan base, it's going to be a win.
Right.
They're coming off a win. A vulnerable Texas team is coming into town. Two things that would energize a fan base. It's homecoming. Three things that would energize a fan base. The weather forecast was perfect. Four things that would energize a fan base. And how many fans were there yesterday?
36,904.
And who could blame anyone for not coming?
Well, and how many were there in the third and fourth quarter? As we've seen how many times throughout the past 5 years. I mean, that's the proof's right there. I mean, that's really, I think, what it comes down to is if the support had stayed in place for the program, for Coach Weiss, for you know, hope for the future, I think it would have been a lot harder for Shane Zenger to pull the trigger 4 games in. But when it's that evident, week after week after week, that the support's not there and the product, it might not be there either.
And did Charlie look like he had the energy? Was his energy there? After that game last night, did you sense anything that he was looking forward to the challenge of?
No, he seemed physically, certainly physically, and probably mentally too, as drained as I've seen him in the 28 games that we've covered him. I mean, I've seen some rough games from him, certainly, and they've taken some beatings. We all know that. And, you know, standing out there in the rain a time or two. But none of those even came close to that. Just the image, the vision of what he looked like last night. And you know, it takes its toll. There's no doubt about it.
It does, and I just think he's done as a coach. I don't think you'll see him coach anymore. I think you'll see him probably with his family, the efforts. Work-wise, my prediction would be, work-wise, his efforts will be 100% trained on Hannah and Friends, a great charity that he's involved heavily with, and that'd be my guess.
Well, there's nothing, I mean, what a way to finish your life, and however many more years that is, 10, 20, 40, whatever it is, that's a great way to kind of ride off into the sunset. You know,
doing something good. Your ability as an NFL coach got you fame and fortune. And you're using that fame and fortune to help a great cause.
To help others, right? Yeah, I mean there would be nothing wrong with that, and I think that would probably make him a very happy individual, and that's cool. Everything, we've posted a ton of stories online already, but everything that I've heard talking to people, it sounded like it was a quick meeting this morning. It sounded like it was very gracious on both sides of the coin. I mean, you know, there was no anger, there was no bitterness. It is what it is. I mean, at some point, the athletic director wants to make a change. The coach, you know, if he doesn't believe It's the right time. He may protest. There was no protest today, and I think he understood that, yeah, he didn't get it done. I mean, that's as simple as that. 6-22 follows, 5-19 was turned right. Yeah, you can't just keep letting that go, because what will happen when you keep letting that go is you lose the fans. And they've lost some. We'll see if this move gets some back. I don't think they're as willing to come back as quickly as they once were, because enough's enough. They've really grown tired of what's going on up there. So moving forward, what happens from this point on, not only in the future, but also the next 8 games. Huge time for this program. Huge time for Shane Zinger as an athletic director. And you know, there are a lot of things still up in the air. But just sort of real quickly, a lasting impression of Charlie Weiss. I mean, you know, we talked when he was hired. We had heard things from people, and we had our own opinions about what it was going to be like. And I know for me, Coach Weiss was completely different than everything I heard he would be. And I always thought that was great. I mean, I enjoyed 98-99% of my time dealing with the guy. I mean, he was entertaining. He was colorful. He was honest. He was fair. He said what he meant. He said right. what he thought. I mean, as a guy covering somebody, especially somebody who you know, is following a guy like Turner Gill, who was just so bland.
Right.
It was like, you know, it was like a celebration, a party, Christmas, whatever you want to call it. It was a lot of fun to cover, and I know that doesn't win football games, but I think that's as much as anything what I'll remember. Of course I'm going to remember what the offense looked like. Of course I'm going to remember the record, but I'm also going to remember that side of it, that this was a fun guy to cover, and he, maybe not on the field, but in terms of that, he made it a good program to cover, and now they got to fix it out there.
Yeah, he gave candid press conferences, which is great. But I never really, once I saw that Dane Chris wasn't the answer, I never really thought that Charlie Weiss was going to work as the quarterback. And I mean, as the coach, never found a quarterback. I remember writing the day he was hired, I thought maybe Jim Leavitt would have been a better choice. I still believe that, but it was a bad fit. I mean, Charlie Weiss for the college game was not a good fit, at least for Kansas. Notre Dame, you can recruit better talent to Notre Dame and Notre Dame than
yeah. Know, well, Kansas and I mean, guys. Sorry, the game's changed too. I mean, it really has, and this is not. There was a time where you could run a pro-style offense in college, and you could have a big, strong, slow, tall quarterback sit back there and just pick defenses apart. And that worked for a lot of years, and that this is not that time. That doesn't work hardly anywhere. You know, I mean, maybe Alabama. I mean, AJ McCarron, he kind of did that, but even he could move around a little bit. He was a good athlete. I mean, to just call him a big stiff who sat in the pocket's not fair. So, yeah, that was never going to work here. And
no, because you're the underdog in the trenches,
right? Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not going to work, and they tried it with the. Cozart, who's just so raw, so inexperienced, so bad mechanically as a thrower, and so raw as a defense, a reader of defenses, that didn't work either. But there is no quarterback on the roster. I think Cozart will continue to be the quarterback. There's no ready quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's not a good offensive line. So Clint Bowen's got a tough road ahead of him.
Yeah, generally speaking. I mean, 4 games into the season, you know, we entered this season with Coach Weiss saying the big famous line now of, hey, just give me September and I'll give you a reason to come back in October, November. And well, he got September. I don't think he meant just give me September and then I'll be done with me. I don't think he meant that at all. But, you know, it's 4 games in and that, man, that's as quick a trigger as I think you could possibly see. I mean,
no, I think you could have seen a quicker one if he'd have lost to Central Michigan. You would have seen a quicker one.
Right, but yeah, I mean, can you think of anybody that's been fired after 4 games off the top of your head?
June Jones.
Yeah, this year. Right, yeah, there you go. So,
who was one of the guys who was a candidate last time for Kansas? So.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, I mean, disruptive, I know you said it had to happen. Do you think that's... the lesser of two evils, making the disruptive move 4 games in versus letting him ride out the season?
Yes, surely, right? I think so, because it was evident that the players were feeding off his energy, I should say. There's lack thereof.
The wrong way, right.
And I think that in that sense, Clint Bowen is the anti-Charlie Weiss in terms of energy. terms of in-your-face instruction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be really interesting because there are a lot of things that, will be worth keeping an eye on now. Obviously, Bowen in that head coaching, interim head coaching seat right now, definitely worth keeping an eye on. But it trickles down from there. We heard all offseason, all start of this season, that Charlie Weiss was hands-off with the offense. He brought John Regan in to run the offense, and he wasn't having anything to do with it. Was he or was he not? We don't know for sure. He said it. Hard to go against his word, but also, you know, you hear things. So the question becomes, now we'll get to see. Now we'll get to see because there is nobody other than John Regan to run this offense. And,
right.
And no other, I mean, I can't see for the life of me Clint Bowen sitting there and nitpicking what John Regan's doing. They have a ton of respect for each other. And,
yeah.
And they know that one guy's expertise is here and the other's is here. And they work together and they work well and they complement each other in that way. So I think we'll get to see. I'm not saying it's going to change because there are still some obstacles, some handicaps for sure. I mean, the offensive line, still what it is. Cozart, still a work in progress. It doesn't just fix overnight. But Reagan's got a clean slate too here, and he gets to do whatever he sees fit, whatever he wants to do now. Think it'll change that much?
Well, the only part of the slate that's not clean and where he is handcuffed, other than ability of the quarterback and the offensive line, is that you don't see many programs at all, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you don't see many programs at all where the offensive coordinator is also the offensive line coach.
Right, right.
Usually it's he's also the quarterback's coach. And that way he can sit upstairs where he can see the field better, and it's not having to coach the offensive line.
Yeah, it's a big
task. And that's true in practice, too. And I just wonder, that's why I was wondering if maybe you subtract a coach in Charlie Weiss and you add an offensive line coach and let John Regan go upstairs. It didn't work out that way. Louis Matsakis is going to be the special teams coach to take the place of Charlie Weiss on the staff.
Right, yeah, he'll move up, and he did that under Mangino a little bit, and he was a director of player personnel or something like that on the staff, but not able to fully go out there and coach like he will be able to do now. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that move was probably made, too, in the interest of just timeliness, you know?
Well, also, yeah, and also, though, the special teams do need to perform better.
No doubt, yeah, no doubt. There's Trevor Pardula's right leg is not coaching. That's a kid that's just gifted with a big leg, and he...
I mean, they need to do better on punt returns. They need to do certainly better on coverage for punts.
Well, let's look at it, too. Texas scored 4 times in a 23-0 victory. All 4 of those drives were 30 yards or less.
Right.
That means interceptions are setting up short fields. That means a punt return set up a short field.
And a penalty at the end of that punt.
And
return.
A penalty, right. These things, I mean, this is, you know, you need some help for the offense. You can't just start at the 20 and say, okay, we need you to do this, Montel. That's unfair to put on him, and he needs help too. So, yeah, the special teams bump, if there is one, could be enormous here. So, again, that gets back to what we just said a few minutes ago. There are tons and tons of interesting things, that sort of trickle-down effect now. Different vibe, different air, different program. I mean, this is a different program now. You can feel it. We both drove up there today. Even just being around the building, outside of the building, you know, you can just feel something different. And obviously that could be because I've been up since 5:30, 6 o'clock thinking about it, and maybe that's all that's on my mind now. But nonetheless, it's still there. It's tangible, and it's, you know, you can actually feel that. And I think this week will be very interesting. You know, we get a ton of access to Clint Bowen right away, starting Monday. We'll get him again Tuesday. We'll get the players on Wednesday. I mean, it's going to be a basic, normal, scheduled week, just like it would be with a game at the end, just like there will be 7 more times after it. But this week will be more different than any week we've seen in a long, long time because of all this. And it will be more than, hey, how do you prepare for West Virginia? What do you think about their offense? It will be so much more than that.
But and more importantly, for the fate of the football team, practice is going to be a lot different.
Right.
Charlie Weiss generally had a practice that was more like an NFL practice than a college practice. So much so that when he had a college-type practice with college-type physicality and with college-type time spent on ones against ones, he called attention to it.
Right.
Well, that's just going to be the norm for Clint Bowen. He worked under Mark Mangino and other head coaches.
And played under head coaches that ran him hard.
Glenn Mason.
Yeah, so when Charlie Weiss was hired, the night he was introduced, one of the biggest sound bites that I remember coming from that was, I told these guys, hey, enjoy Christmas break, because after that it's going to be miserable around here. And it was. I'm sure it was. I mean, those guys had gone from working with John Williams and Turner Gill's staff, hardly doing anything, to having to really get after it. It was a dramatic change for them. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that Charlie Weiss had to say that. He had to make a big production out of saying that. I'm sure when Clint Bowen was introduced to this team today as the interim head coach, he didn't say anything like that. Because when they show up for practice a little bit later in the afternoon, or tomorrow, or Tuesday, or whatever, he's just going to show them, you know? Okay, now we're going. This is how we practice now. This is what we do. I'm yelling. I'm blowing the whistle. I'm right there in your face. And that's how Clint coaches. And I don't think he probably had to sit there and mentally prepare them with some witty line, because I just don't think that's how he works. So it's going to be a drastic change. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and he did, you know, the first practice, Anthony Fish Smithson, I noticed he was right in his face immediately because he wasn't where he was supposed to be.
He's one of the more entertaining guys to watch in practice, Clint is, because he gets in them. I mean, he yells, and I've seen him send guys back off the field if they didn't even just come onto the field right. He'll run them off to the side again and demand that they do it better, demand that they do it right, and you know, there's what we're talking about, the energy. You know, Charlie didn't have
that.
And
a good play, I forget the play, but it was near the sideline, might have been a Michael Reynolds play.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one there slapping Reynolds.
Jumping up on his helmet.
On the helmet.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, yeah, he brings that. And I think that can't hurt. It can only help at this point. Because this team, what's interesting too is I think you do see some of that from the defense. You see Jake Love, you see Ben Heaney, you see some of those DBs that play like that. The offense needs a dose of that. And now they'll get it because their interim head coach will be over the whole thing now. And you know, guys will be more free to just get after it and have some fun. And that's what the game is. I mean, you've talked about that a lot. It's a nasty, violent game. But you got to make it fun somehow.
Yeah, and here's where it's easier to do that on defense, play with that kind of passion and all that.
Sure.
Than it is on offense if you don't have a trigger man.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have that quarterback performing well, or nobody's going to follow his lead. And I think Cozart has the right personality for a leader. He's charismatic. He's a guy so likable you want to follow him.
Right.
But
you still have to perform.
You got to perform. And Chris couldn't lead and Heaps couldn't lead because they couldn't perform.
That's a great point. When Charlie Weiss was hired, Turner Gill had just been fired 2 years into a 5-year contract. And then he was bought out in 90 days. The general thought at that point then, when Charlie Weiss was given a 5-year contract, was no way he doesn't make it a full 5 years. As we sit here today, 2 years and 4 games, 2 seasons and 4 games into it, and he's already gone. Are you surprised that he didn't make it? Forget what you saw of the product, but are you surprised he didn't make it 5 years?
No, I'm surprised how bad it was, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't gung-ho on the hiring, but I thought, as excited as he was about getting those quarterbacks within a day's time, both those guys, you thought that they were set at quarterback for a while.
Yeah.
So you thought, well, there's at
least
that.
That's a start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it certainly didn't pan out that way.
No.
You're right. Yeah.
I wonder if Jake Heaps is having any regrets about transferring, or does he think in his mind he might be playing, or could he see that in John Reagan's offense he wouldn't be playing?
It's hard to know. He's not playing where he is, so there's got to be some regret. I mean, because at least here you don't know.
Right.
There you do. Unfortunately, you have to face that every day. You're not playing, you know.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some regret there. That's for sure. Well, we'll definitely get into the coaching search that will last a while. They're not going to name anybody before the end of the year. You don't do that. You have an interim coach. You coach 8 more weeks. And whoever they hire, you know, they're coaching too probably somewhere. So you can't just pull them off a staff either. So this thing's going to go a long time, and we're going to cover it every step of the way. With interesting podcasts.
Great job
interviews.
Breaking the story this morning, Matt Tate.
Thank you. It's what we do. It's fun. days like this are fun for us in our business, certainly, and not a whole lot of fun for a lot of other people, but such is life. But real quick, let me just end on this note, and then you can offer your parting thoughts. I think that a lot of people wonder, okay, this is a coach, or this is a program now that fired a guy after 2 years, and then the next guy they fired after 2 years and 4 games. Why would anyone want to come here? Why would anyone come to Kansas when you look like you're firing coaches every 2 years? And I think the answer to that is that the people that Shane Zenger is going to go after with this hire have some knowledge of Kansas, whether they've been here before or just understand it through context or connections or whatever it is. I think they will understand that those situations were unique and that each of those moves to get rid of Gill and now to get rid of Weiss were necessary and the right moves for the program. So I think the guy they end up with is going to be a guy that isn't going to be scared away by that because he'll get it. And I think that you said that about Charlie Weiss not being the right fit. That's so important, just getting it. It right. is so important. And so I think if you're a fan out there and you're worried about that, I wouldn't worry about that because I think the next guy will get it.
And I asked a very successful college coach whether too much is made of that, whether if you turn over coaches too quickly, does that make you less desirable and coaches don't want to come and coach there? He said, nah. Because if you're a coach, you've got confidence, A. He said, B, what it does is you use that or your agent uses that to get more money.
No doubt.
They harp on it, harp on it, harp on it. We need more money because you have a history of having a short rope.
Quick trigger, so, right, yeah.
So they just use it to get more money.
Yeah, which is the name of the game, and that's the world we live in, and there we go. Well, we'll end on that note. Just quick reaction and thoughts from the big news of Charlie Weiss out as Kansas football head coach. We'll have all kinds of reaction throughout the week, and certainly get the coaching search fired up with blogs and percentage wheels and everything. It should be a lot of fun. Most people call me crazy, but I really enjoy covering coaching searches. That'll probably change over time, but so far I've enjoyed them. So check out KUSports.com for everything you need on the coaching search and the candidates that will be out there. And remember, today's episode was brought to you by Cars.Lawrence.com, an inventory of more than 2,000 new and used trucks and cars in the Douglas County area. Check out cars.lawrence.com if you're in the market for a new vehicle. We'll talk to you guys next time on the Spodcasters.